Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Vova Metzia Daf Ayin Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the Shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Take note that today's Shiur begins at the bottom of Daf Ayin Hei Omid Beis, at the beginning of the new perek, the sixth perek of Bava Metzia, that's known as Hasuchres Umnin. So the Mishnah that you see there, three lines from the bottom of Ayin Hayomid Beis, deals with the issue, and we've noted this on the side in the margin under our Nosei, the topic heading, which reads, Poyalim, workers, Shechazru Bohen Ba'emtza. They withdrew from their work in the middle. They didn't complete the job that they were hired for. The Mishnah. Hasuchus umnin vihitu ze et ze. The term vihitu, you can see we've dashed underline. It's a word that the Gemara will try to clarify. We'll see there are two different approaches in the Gemara itself to how to explain it. So for our purposes, we'll leave it unexplained at this point. But it says that umanin, workers that hitru ze et ze, ein lahem zal ze ela taromes. They can bear, ill feelings, but nothing more, no financial claim one on the other. Taromos, as we indicated, indicates ill feelings, negative feelings. Sochar es hachamor. A chamor is a donkey driver, form of transportation, movement of goods. Viesha kardor. There's another girsa that you can see in the Tosfos, karor, from the word karon. Karon is a cart. So it's a case where you hired someone to draw a cart to transport goods. And what goods the Mishnah specifies. Lahavi. Prifrin v'chalinim l'kalo l'meis. Prifrin are smooth wooden boards that are used for making something called an apirion. Apirion, in English translations, you'll find is a litter, L-I-T-T-E-R, a type of, container for a person to sit in and be transported from place to place. This apirion was something that figured in weddings. So you have a reference to the materials needed, the transport of materials needed for this, wedding appurtenance. And chalilim are flutes for a kala, for a bride, meaning for a wedding. Olemes. In stark contrast, flutes were also used as part of the dirges, the eulogies made for the dead. The significance of kala and mace, we'll see later in the course of the Gemara discussion. You're dealing with things that if you don't get them now, then it's a loss for you. It's not an ongoing need, not a type of need that can wait for later. Today, or there's a specific date for the wedding, or the burial is immediate. So you hired people for transporting items that are related to weddings or funerals. Upoyalin, you hired workers, lahalois pishtonim in a mashra, to draw from the soaking pool. The mashra is a soaking pool in which flax were put for soaking as part of the linen manufacturing process. V'chol dover shoved, or any other kind of activity that, if not done, will result in a loss. The issue of the pishtan, the flax plant left in the soaking pool too long, will result in their loss. So you hired people for any one of these activities, and then we saw a general statement of kol dover she'oved v'chazru bohen. After these hired people did part of what they were hired for, they then backed out. Mokom she'ein shom adam soicher aleim omaton. If you're in a place, a situation where you cannot find anyone to complete the job. Rashi says, Mokom Shein Odom, Sheino Motse Polim Liskor, you don't find workers to hire, Rapishtan Ovid, and the flax will go bad. Husomachaled, and you were relying on those that you hired. And here they back down in the middle. The Mishnah says, Soicher Aleim Oimaton. Soicher Aleim means you can hire people that will complete the job at a much greater expense. When the Mishnah said that he couldn't find anyone, it means he couldn't find anyone to finish the job at the rate that the job had been started. But as the saying goes, everyone has their price. If you pay enough money, you'll find people to finish off the job. And the Mishnah is telling you, you hire those people, and the workers that backed out will have to pay for them. Maton, that term will be explained later in the Gemara. Hasoicher se'umin v'chazru bohen. You hired workers, and Rashi adds that the form of, say, work here is in the form of kablonis. Kablonis are people hired and paid by the job, as opposed to those that are hired and paid per diem, per hour. So you hired workers, the chazur ben, and they backed out halfway into the job. Yodom al hatachtoinot. They, literally, their hand is on the bottom. We have the term upper hand, and in contrast, there's a term that we'll use, lower hand. They are in the weaker position. How does that manifest itself? We'll get back to that point in a moment. Just if we continue at the top of Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the Mishnah says, "Im Baal Habayis Chozer Bo." If the owner backs out, then Yodo Ala Tachtona. Then he's got the weaker bargaining position. And the Mishnah goes on to enumerate other cases where the individual will be described as Yodoy Ala Tachtoino. Mishane is someone who was hired to do A and he ended up doing B. He changed from what he was instructed to do. And the Mishnah seems to repeat itself. And that's something that always draws our attention, why they repeat. But it says, Kol HaChozer Bo Yodol HaTachtona, once again, he who backs out has the weaker position. And Rashi immediately says on that, what is that coming to add? Rashi, on the Mishnah, though, when we go back to the bottom of Ayin Hey Omid Beis, Rashi, on the lower part of the Rashi commentary, Yodom Ala Tachtona, we are referring to workers that backed out in the middle of the job. Im Hukru Poyalim Venu Moitse Mishig Mireno Bishar Shuyamagia Li Elu Al Heosid Lasois. If, let us say, you hired workers to do a job that would cost $10 and they backed out halfway, that means they did, we'll say, $5 worth of the job. Now, to find people to finish off the second half, you're going to have to pay more than $5. So, me'akev mischar mimash osukol mashi tzorech lahotzi Ad shetigmar malachtoi b'schar sheposak im elu. You can withhold the money that you owe these guys that backed out and use that to pay for the people that you're going to have to hire now at a higher rate in order to finish off the job. V'im huzlu po'alim v'im tzashigmeru b'pochos. Let us say you found workers that will finish off the job at less than the original rate. So that if you hired people to do a job that was going to cost you $10, and they did $5 worth, and in order to finish off the job, you will be able to find people to and pay them $3. Yoshum lohem ma she'osu, you assess what was already done. V'itein lohem ma she'posak, and then give them what was originally agreed upon, the first guys. Asu chetzio, if they did half, yitein lehem chatzi schoron. You had originally agreed to pay them $10 for the entire job. If they did half, you give them $5. V'ein yicholim lo mar lo, and they, these workers that backed out, cannot tell you, harei poyelim achirim tachtenu ligmor malachtecha. You've got other workers, they'll finish off the job for $3. V'sein lanu kol schorenu chutz mimash shenot lu'elu. Therefore, give us $7. what's the logic behind that? Well, in their mind, they were going to do the job for $10. If you give us $7, you're not going to be losing out from what you originally agreed to, because you're going to get the job completed for an additional $3, total of $10. So, give us $7. So, we said, Yodam ala tachtona, these guys that backed out are in the weaker position, and the maximum that they can expect would be $5 in that case. We now turn to Ayin Vav Omer Aleph at the beginning of the Gemara, three lines from the top. Chozru ze boze lo katoni. In the opening of the Mishnah, we had a word that we didn't explain, and the word was v'hit'u. The word you might have expected doesn't appear. The Mishnah described one who hired workers, and the thinking was that those workers then backed out. If that were the case, then the word chazru would have appeared, but that's not the word that appeared. So, what then does appear? Hit'u. Ze is what is written. The atu poyelim ahadodi. We have a case of one group of workers that tricked, or hitu means to mislead, that misled other workers. And the Gemara asks, hey Fidomi, what are the circumstances that the Mishnah is referring to? So as we go on in the Gemara, we'll describe what was intended when we say that workers, one group of workers or a worker, misled another worker. Before we go further, though, we should pay attention to the structural aspect of the Gemara. A Roman numeral number 1 may have caught your eye. On the side of the Gemara, on the margin, the nosei, topic heading, slash, mivne, structural note. We combine the two into one note. Roman numerals 1 and 2, and you might have noted that number 2 appears on Omid Beis, so you don't see it immediately on this Omid. Shnei Pirushim, two explanations, Lahati Kotoni, Hitu Ze Eze. To explain, what does Hitu Ze Eze, emphasis on that word, Hitu, what is that teaching me? Number 1, Poalim, hired people, Shenishlichu Al Yedei Baal HaBayis, that were sent by the owner. Hitu poalim achirim, they misled other workers. So you have people that are functioning as agents of the Baal HaBayis, the owner. And these agents are hired for a purpose. We'll see in the Gemara what. And they misled the other workers. Roman number 2, we also indicate this, it appears on Omid Beis. Poalim, the Mishnah is referring to, in fact, original owner and workers. And v'hai itu chosru, the word hitu really means backed out. The Mishnah decided to use an unusual word there, but it means what we thought it meant at the outset. So according to approach Roman numeral number 2, which you find on Ayin Vav Omid Beis, we see the word hitu as meaning backing out, and the Gemara will show in a Tanaic source how that word hitu is used in that context. Again, the reference to a owner and his relationship or breaking of the relationship with the workers. Till we get to that, though, we have approach number 1. The Gemara asks, Heichi Domi, what are the circumstances? How is it speaking, this case of workers that misled other workers? So the Gemara, it gives you the background. Di Omar Le Baal Abayis. An owner turned to some workers, we'll call them people on his staff, and he said, Zil ogerli polim, go and hire for me workers. The Osalihu Vatinhu, and he went and misled them. So you have to imagine a man that has some kind of, he has a house or an operation, a company, a factory, and he needs painters. And he sends one of the men on his staff, go and find me some painters. And this staff member went and misled the painters. Hey, Chidomi, once again, what are the circumstances? The issue that's going to come up here is one of wages. How much is being offered as pay? The markings that you see, the house shape, highlights the term balabayas, or the term ihu. Ihu means him, the agent. Eizu schum omar kol echad. What amount was each one saying? Another marking that's going to be figuring in this sugya is a crown shape that highlights the term di omar le. The first possibility is where the balabayas said that he's willing to pay 3. V'shluch omar lepoyelim, 4. Number 2, balabayas omar, 4. V'shluch omar, 3. So when you look at the Gemara, you'll see, try to note ahead of time where you see these crown shapes. One is over here, and 2 is more than halfway down. Let us turn back to the Gemara. There are more markings that will appear. We'll try to explain them when we get there. But as is always the case, the markings attempt to show a type of, in addition to a repeating factor or a series phenomenon, they also try to highlight the balance and structure of different sections of the Gemara. So we continue now with the beginning. What happened? E de Omar le balabayas ba'arba'a. If the original owner said, "I'm willing to pay 4," the ozil ihu, and the agent went, Omar lehu b'tlosa. He said, "You'll make 3." So the agent is actually lowering the amount. And then they agree to work for 3. Tarumes maya vidite. Why then does the Mishnah reflect the possibility of having of bearing ill feelings? Savur v'kobil. They heard 3 and they agreed to work for 3. So they heard it and agreed. Why should they have any grounds for ill feelings? E de Omar le balabayas betulasa. If the owner said, "I'm willing to pay 3," the ozeliu amaluhu barbo. An agent went and said the job will earn for you four. You'll get paid four. Hechi dummy. What there's in this case, we need to analyze further details. So what is it speaking of? In de Omar Lahu Scharchem Olai, if the agent said to the workers who heard that they'll get paid for, and they heard Scharchem Olai, your wages are upon me, I will take care of your pay. Nosiv Lahu Mididei. So then this agent will have to pay out of pocket. Disanya, and here we have a Tanaic source that indicates that. Someone hires a worker with the intention of the worker performing the task on bishalo, on the property, and the property of the one that was hiring. Vereu bishel chavero, and he directs him to someone else's property, and he does the work in someone else's property. No se lo scharo mushlam. You who hired him have to pay the worker full wages. We dashed underline no se lo scharo mushlam because you didn't benefit from it. You pointed out someone else's property on which to do the work, but you hired him, so you have to pay him full wages. V'choyse v'noitu mibala bayis mashenu. But you do have a right to demand from the neighbor that received benefit the value of the benefit. Now, the value of the actual benefit is less than the amount that one would have had to pay in hiring workers, where you have additional costs and profit margins that figure in. So still, where do we see the circumstances of the Mishnah where they can bear tarumas, ill feelings? Lo, tzricha, no, it's necessary to teach the case of the Mishnah. The Omar Lohu, under the following circumstances, where the agent said, Scharchem al balabayis, your pay will be fulfilled by the owner. Well, still, velechsi poyalim hechi misgri. Let us see how workers are hired, how much they're paid for in that area. The Rashi across from here, velechsi poyalim hechi misgri, e misgri bar ba'a, if the going rate, in fact, is 4, al korchi de balabayas nesiv ar ba'a, the owner will have to pay them for. Dehokotoni, we saw in the source, noitel mi balabayas ma she'ano isoi. They can take from the owner whatever benefit he received. Vafapi shelo tziveu, even though he didn't instruct them. For a hiyana oisoi bekach, and by their having done the work, they benefited him. The e miskuri bishlosha, and if the going rate is 3, my tarumasika, then why should they be able to bear ill feelings? So you have the Gemara going on now to find out what are the circumstances of the Mishnah. So just to review the last situation, if the homeowner, if the owner said 3 and the agent misrepresented and said 4, but he said the owner is going to pay your wages, what are the grounds for tarumas? Either the owner has to pay 4, and if the going rate is 3, then why should they be able to have ill feelings? Lo tzricha. Now we have a new marking, a diamond, and on the side we indicate hesberim shenim tachas gisha mispar number 1. Here we're going to have different explanations that we've indicated aleph, beis, and gimel. under the circumstances presented in Crown Number 1, where the owner said to the agent, I'm willing to pay 3. Agent went out and said to the workers, 4. And he also said that your pay is going to be by the balabayas. He will pay. So the Gemara goes on and says, Lo, tzricha. It is necessary to be taught the Mishnah where it said, Hitu zeza einlem elatarumas. Deika de miskar be'arba, deika de miskar betlos. You're in an area that there are those that will do the job for 4, and there are those that will do the job for less, for 3. The Omru lay, we used the example before of the painters, the word called the hired men, can say, Ilav de Amris lon be'arba, if you wouldn't have said 4, if you wouldn't have offered us 4, Tarchinon u'miskirinon barba, we would have troubled ourselves and found someone else that needs workers that would have been willing to pay 4. And now that the balabayas is going to be able to pay us only 3, so we have ill feelings toward toward your misrepresenting us, toward your misrepresentation. So you have the painters having ill feelings toward the workers, the agents that were sent by the balabayas. Iboyesema, another approach. This involves a case where the worker that's hired has his own property, and he wouldn't have hired himself out to do other people's work unless he was going to be receiving more than, we'll say, more than the we'll call the going rate. Hocha bevala bayis haskinan. Here we're dealing with a worker that himself is an owner of property. Di omru lei, they can tell the agent, ilav di amris lon barbo, if you wouldn't have told us that we'll get paid 4, have a zila bon milsol is guri. It would have been beneath our dignity, so to speak, to work for less. The Rashi, iboy esema bevala bayas askinan, right across Rashi says, but befoil sheyesh lo leatzmo sada shein shelo, a worker that has his own property, v'enu niska lechzachiri mimlo biyoser al demei schirus, he wouldn't work for others unless the pay was higher than in general. V'enu tarumis, and this is their tarumis feeling. De'i lav de amris li bedalid, had you not told us that we would be paid 4, lo hoisi mezazel batzmi. If you wouldn't have told me, yes, I'm a worker, but also have my own property. If you wouldn't have told me for 4, I wouldn't have I wouldn't have agreed to work for any less. Iboy esema liolam bepoeli maskinon. The third approach is you're dealing with standard workers who are regular in working for others. The Amri lay, they can say to the agent, Kevon the Amris lon barba, since you said we would get paid 4, Tarchinon va'avdinon loch avidita shapirta, we extended ourselves to do a particularly high quality job. The Gemara asks, but still, why should there be ill feelings? Velechsi avidetayot. Well, let's go and evaluate the quality of their work. The Gemara says, berifka. We're talking about a type of job which involved digging a channel or a ditch around a field. Well, rifka nami meida yoda. There are different qualities within rifka as well. You can still evaluate the quality. The Gemara says, no, the moli maya v'loyadia, that ditch or channel dug around the field became filled with water. So you can't see the quality of their job. And as a result, and I think that you still have to go back to the original circumstances that since you're in an area that workers got paid three, their claim of four because of a higher quality job is not something that they will be able to insist on or base their claim, because we can't evaluate it. And there are workers that are hired out for three, and they claim they did a better job, so they can have tarumas, they can have their ill negative feelings toward the agents, but nothing more than that. Notice the contrast between this and the case above. We have, of course, the crown, number one, above. We have a little star to the side of the Gemara text, which directs your attention above, where in that case, where the star appears. Let me just repeat one point. The crown number one has the balabayas saying three and the agent saying four. In this case, in contrast to that, here you have the balabayas saying four and the agent saying three. But now this scenario we saw earlier, and that's what the star does. It draws your attention to that original suggestion where the owner said four and the agent said, you'll get paid three. At that point, we asked, why is there any tarumas? If they agreed to work for three, so be it. Why should they have ill feelings? So now, here the Gemara, in this second crown, goes back to that original suggestion that had been rejected. The owner actually offered a greater amount, four. The Ozaliu, the agent who dealt with the workers, he said, you guys will get paid three. Udekoarmus, and you asked, how can that be the explanation of the Mishnah, which spoke about having ill feelings, Sovar Vekobiel? They heard, and they accepted three. The Amri Lay, here is the reason for the ill feelings. The workers can say, Les Loch, do you not hold from Al Timnat Toiv Mibalov? That's a posuk in Mishle, which roughly means, translationally, do not withhold the good from the ones that deserve the good. And the Balabayas had offered for, they have a feeling that they deserve to get what was originally offered. They don't have a legal, court claim to get the four, but tarumas they can nevertheless feel. You'll notice that we have a bracketed section. It's a very long bracketed section, and it takes you, and you can use your bracket length indicator, it'll take you down several lines down from the top of Omid Beis. If you skip to that point, you'll notice the Gemara says, Eboy Asema, and we also have a Roman numeral number 2 there. Haitana Chozru Nami Hitoru Kori Le. The opening of the Mishnah is, in fact, a reference to an owner who hired workers, and they backed out in the middle. Or there was, let me put it this way, there was back out, because we have to leave open the possibility of the owner backing out as well. Either the workers backed out or the owner backed out, but either way, the word hit oru is the word used by the Mishnah for that idea of chazru, of backing out. That, of course, we'll see after the bracketed section. There's a starred note in the margin, and it says, Achrei HaSograim, after the brackets. And we're reading on the lower part of Ayin Vav Amud Aleph, the starred note. And it says, after the brackets, HaGemara Chozeres Lefarish Divrei HaMishnah Hitru Zeh Ezeh. The Gemara will go back to the issue that it opened with, explain the word Hitru. Besoch HaSograim, within the brackets, HaGemara Dona B'Sheila, the Gemara deals with the question, Adibura Didei Ka Samech, or Adibura Debaal Habayis Samech. When you hear an agent speaking, claiming things, are you relying on his words, or are you relying on what the Baal HaBayis actually said? Under the Nosei, the topic heading that you see in the margin, we indicate this. B'mikre shashaliach mishane divrei mishachal. Under circumstances that the agent changes the words of the original owner, or the one who sent the agent. There are other, we'll see cases of divorce documents and their transportation also figuring into this scheme, where there's a mishaleach and a shaliach, a sender, an agent, and the agent changes the words of the one that sent him. Al mi soimech hashomea, upon whom is the listener really relying? Al divrei baal habayis, is he relying on the words of the owner? Oh, al divrei hashaliach, or is the listener relying on the words of the agent? Hagemora tinase lifshoy shelazu. The Gemara will attempt to resolve this question. Al pi psak din shel Rav Nachman binyan shlichus beget. Based on a ruling of Rav Nachman that was stated in the context of a divorce document that was sent. Mikre shashalich shina medivrei ha'isha sheshalchei lebala. A case where an agent who was sent by a woman anticipating her divorce, the agent sent by the woman to the husband who has a divorce document ready to be used to divorce her. And she sent an agent to the husband. HaGemara tidche nisoyen tzeh. The Gemara, though, when we get to Amud Beis, you'll see the Gemara rejects the approach that says, let's rely on Rav Nachman's psak. Let's resolve the issue by relying on Rav Nachman's psak. Biomro, where the Gemara will say, Shamikra anoichichi sh'Rav Nachman ein dugma shel shlil shashina. The Gemara will say that the case given, reflected by Rav Nachman's ruling, is not similar to our issue. Rav Nachman, our issue is an agent that is basically remains an agent, but he changed the words of the original party, the one that sent him. Rav Nachman's ruling involves a case of a shliach that essentially is backing out, is abrogating, is withdrawing from his agency. The note continues by saying, "Shamikra nochichi sh'Rav Nachman dugma shel shliach shishina." The example of Rav Nachman, in fact, is not a case of a shliach that merely changes. Ela shel shliach she'arka shlichuso, an agent that undoes, that withdraws from his agency. V'lulei hoya Rav Nachman mityaches lemikre shone, and if only Rav Nachman had related to a different case, hayu nilchaylim lahasik maskona. Then we would have been able to reach a conclusion. But as things are now, the Gemara in its rejection will say Rav Nachman's case is irrelevant to our discussion. Just to repeat, had Rav Nachman, however, dealt with a case involving a divorce but with altered circumstances, then we would have been able to use that information to resolve our question. Now we go over the bracketed section. Pshita, the following is obvious. It's not the subject of any discussion. E Omar le Baal HaBayis betlosa. If the owner said, I'll pay three, And the agent said, you'll get paid for it. The Amri lay, and the worker said, Kamo Shomar Balabayas. Whatever the owner said, that's what I'm relying on. Datayu Ailuya. His intention is to get the greater amount. So that the worker heard the agent saying, you'll get paid for. And the worker said, I'm relying on the words of the owner. Of course, he is thinking that the owner had sent him to the agent to offer for. The point is that when he says that whatever the owner said, his intent is on the greater amount. Ela I omar le balabayas barba. If the circumstances were that the owner said four, v'yozal ihu omar luhu betwasa, and the agent said you'll get paid three, v'amri kamoshamar balabayas, and upon hearing three, they say that what as the owner said, that's what we'll that's what we agree to. My, how are we to appreciate this? Adiburo dide kosamchi. Are they the workers relying on the agent? The amri le, and when they say, when they said kemoshamar balabayas, what were they really saying? Mehem nislon dachi omar balabayas. We trust you that this is what the balabayas said. Oy dilma adiburo de balabayas kosamchi. Or are they in reality relying on the words of the balabayas? We'll say sort of skipping over the agent, saying simply, we are relying on what the balabayas said. Now, Rashi explains the nafkamina. Let's take a look at the Rashi together. You'll see we have a star in the Rashi to help you find. It's just a little bit below here. Adiburo de poyo kosamchi, v'hachi omru le. And what the workers are saying is as follows. Mehen nislon, you are trusted upon us, you're trustworthy upon us, v'hachi omru balabayas. That this is what the balabayas said. What did they hear? They heard three. V'les lehu ela t'losu v'tarumus, the tarumus of the altim natov. We saw that quoted earlier in the Gemara. In a case like that, they can have only ill feelings. Oydilma, Rashi goes on to say, Lav lididei himnu. They weren't declaring their trust in the agent at all. Elohochi omru achar divrei balabayas nelech velo sover v'kobol. What they were saying is, we will do what the balabayas said. And you don't have, in a case like that, the idea we mentioned before. Well, they heard and accepted. They weren't relying on the agent to begin with. They heard the agent say three, and they said we're going to go with whatever the balabayas said. And in this case, the balabayas didn't say three; he said four. V'shakli daladin, they'll be entitled to receive four. No, we go back to the Gemara. Toshma. So we have a long marking. We're going to now make reference to the case from Gittin and Rav Nachman's ruling in order to discover what does the listener to an agent rely on. The Gemara. Toshma. By the way, you notice after the long attempt to answer the question, at the bottom line there's another long marking, the Dalet, the Dichia. That's the rejection. So that from this Gemara, we're left with the question: does a listener rely on the agent as being a representative of the Bala Bias, or does the listener not rely on the words of the agent, but he accepts or relies upon that which the original Mishaleach said in reality? The Gemara, Toshmap, Have Ligiti. Note, the woman, the candidate for divorce, she says to an agent, bring for me my get. That's called halacha. Maybe just a word of background. In divorce, there are two types of shluchim. There's a shliach lehoilacha and a shliach lekabola. Lehoilacha is an agent appointed to merely transport the document to the woman. Who has the legal power of establishing a shliach lehoilacha? The husband, not the wife. The other type of shliach, shliach lekabola, an agent sent to receive the get, the divorce document on her behalf, which, by the way, means upon the agent's receiving of the get, the woman at that point, even though she doesn't physically take hold of the get, the woman becomes divorced. Who has the power of appointing a shliach lekabola? The woman, not the husband. If a husband is appointing an agent, the agent that he appoints can serve as a conveyor of the get, bringing the get to the woman, and her divorce will be effective only upon her actual receipt, her physical receipt of the get. In the meantime, we go back to our source. Have Ligiti. A woman says to an agent, bring to me the get. That's a shliach lahilacha. Technically speaking, he is not a real agent at that point. She doesn't have the legal power of creating that kind of agency. Nevertheless, she asks a man, she asks an agent, would you kindly bring the get to me from my husband? So now the agent goes, v'ishtecha omra, and the agent, in speaking to the husband, says, hiskabel ligiti. The agent says that your wife appointed me as a shliach lekabola, which theoretically she could do that. So the agent presents himself as a shliach lekabola, which, as we said before, would mean upon his receipt of the get, she's instantly divorced, and that agent doesn't have to do anything beyond that. Just getting the get, receiving the get from the husband. The hu omer, and the husband says, "Heiluch kemo shamra, take it as she said." Omar Rav Nachman, given a case like this, Rav Nachman rules, Omar Rav Abar v'Omar Rav, quoting Rav, Afilu higia get liyodo eno migureshes. Even if the get, the divorce document, reaches her, she is not divorced. Shamis mina, we conclude from here, Adibura dide kosomech. The husband must have been relying on his words, meaning on the agent's words. He's relying on the agent that what you're saying to me is what she actually said. If it were so that the husband is relying on what the woman said, Mechimoti Gita Liyoda Miyam Tigrash, when the get would eventually reach her hands, she should be divorced. The husband does have the power of establishing a shliach lehoilacha. what did Rav Nachman rule, in fact? That even if the get reaches her, she's not divorced. You see, she never appointed the agent as a shliach l'kabbalah. So that the get reaching the agent's hands would not result in her being divorced immediately. By Rav Nachman saying she's not divorced at all would seem to indicate then that the husband is not appointing him as a shliach l'holocha either. Because if the husband had established him as a shliach l'holocha, then the get one reaching her would have been an effective divorce. Rav Nachman said she's not divorced, she doesn't get divorced at all, even if the get reaches her hands. So it must be that the husband was relying on the words of the shaliach, of the agent. And the agent said, I'm a shliach l'kabbalah. And in fact, he was never appointed as such. He can't make himself into a shliach l'kabbalah, that goes without saying. So, at this point then, if the question was, upon whom does the listener rely? On the words of the original sender, the original party, or the agent? It would appear that the listener is depending on the words of the agent. Omar Rav Ashi. We continue now in the Gemara text, but with the rejection. We continue at the top of Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Hachi Hashta. Rav Ashi says, how can you draw a conclusion from Rav Nachman's ruling vis-a-vis our question? Bishlama I oit mar ibcha. Granted, had Rav Nachman ruled ibcha literally means in an opposite form. What the Gemara does now is it goes over the case with the woman and the agent and the husband, and you'll notice a change. And hence we said ibcha. If the case were presented in an opposite form, where the woman speaking to the agent says, be a shliach l'kabbalah. And the agent will say, I am to convey the get as a shliach l'holocha. And the husband says what he said before. Notice, this is ibcha, it's the opposite, it's the reversed way from that which we saw in the original real Tanaic source. The Gemara here is going to say, if the Tanaic source had been presented in an opposite way and Rav Nachman would have taken a stand, then we could have come to conclusions. The reason we see a dashed framed source is it's not really a source. It's theoretically what the source could have said, or if it would have said this, and Rav Nachman would have ruled either Aleph. We'll see on the fourth line from the top, and Rav Nachman's ruling would have been either Kamo, like Aleph, and then a few lines later, Inami, or if his ruling had been Beis, then we could have come to conclusions. But as the way things stand right now, the Tanaic source in reality, and Rav Nachman's ruling that the get is not a get at all, even if it reaches her hands, that's a function of, as we said before, of the shliach's demonstration of unwillingness to be an agent whatsoever. He wants to undo his agency. Our question, does a listener depend on the words of the agent or the words of the original sender? That's where the agency remains intact. And then just a question of an agent who misrepresented the words of the original party, upon whom does the listener place his trust? So now let's see all of this in the Gemara. Bishlama, top line, Bishlama i'itmar ibcha. Very well, if it had been stated in an opposite form, where hiskabeligiti, the woman would have said to an agent, receive on my behalf the get. That's a type of agency that a woman can legitimately establish. A shliach l'kabbalah. which we explained before, upon his receiving the get, she is immediately divorced, even if she didn't physically get the document. The ishtecha amra, and the agent, in speaking to the husband, presents himself as one the wife had requested, havili giti. Your wife said, bring me the get. And between the lines we've written in our marked Gemaras, the agent here is actually extending the time of his agency. He knew that he was appointed by the woman as an agent for receiving the document, and that's it. Then his agency would have been completed. And the agent here is actually presenting himself as a shliach lahaylacha, extending his time. Vehu omer, and the husband hears this and says, Heilach kamo shamra, take the get as she said. V'omar Rav Nachman, Rav Abba Avor Marav, and upon that, again, all of this is in theory, and upon that Rav Nachman would have ruled. Notice we have Aleph, two lines later, see, Inami Beis. Had he ruled either like this or like Beis, like that, we would have been able to come to some conclusions. Let's see. And had Rav Nachman said, Mishiagia get liyodoi migureshes, once the get reaches the hands of the agent, she's immediately divorced. Alma adibura de adibura dida kasamach. That would show us that the husband is relying on exclusively on what she said. Not a case where the husband says, I trust you that this is what she said, but I am giving you the get in accordance with what she said. So if Rav Nachman would have said that as soon as the get reaches the hands of the agent, we would have concluded then that the listener is relying upon the word, exclusively upon the words of the original party. Inami, or if Rav Nachman would have said, Mishihigia get liyoda migureshes, once the get reaches her hands, she is then divorced, then we would have concluded, Almo dadi bura didei kosomech, that the listener is relying on the words of the agent. The agent presented himself as one that was appointed as a shliach lehailacha, an agent for conveyance. And we said earlier that she couldn't have possibly made him as such, appointed him as such. So the husband, in giving the divorce document to him, and Rav Nachman saying that when the divorce document reaches her, she in fact is divorced, so the husband in effect was appointing him. The husband can do that. He appointed him, the agent, as a shliach lo'ilacha. Well, that would show us that the listener is depending upon the words of the speaker, of the agent. However, all of this is, as we said, that's in theory. As far as in reality, we had a case where the woman expected the agent to serve for a longer amount of time to convey the get. The agent presented himself as we'll call it, an instant divorce, as a shlich lekabbalah. Ela hasam, the reason Rav Nachman ruled that even once the get reaches her hand, she is not divorced, mishum ta'okar shlich l'shichusei legamri. There, the agent is undoing his agency altogether. Diomar le, the shaliach, is in effect saying, shliach lekabbalah habino, I'd be willing to be a shliach lekabbalah. That means if I can get my job done immediately, instantly, fine. Lehalacha lo habino, but I'm not going to be a shliach lehalacha. And in that case, she, the only one who could have made him into a shliach kabbalah, didn't do so. The husband can't make him into a shliach lekabbalah. And he's saying, I'm not going to be anything other than a shliach lekabbalah. And you, the husband, you can't make me into that. In so many words, this guy, this agent, is saying, I don't want to be a shliach. So as far as the issue that was in the bracketed section of Gemara, we leave that unresolved. Iboy Seimos, we said before, here we go back to the beginning of the Gemara, and you'll notice how Rashi is very, as usual, very structure sensitive. Notice in the lower part of the narrow lines, Viboy Esema, Rashi says, Ashinuya Deresh Pirkekoi. This is an alternative answer to the issue. Ashinuya is an answer, is a response to that which was dealt with at Resh Pirkei, at the beginning of the Perek. What does Hit'u Zedzeh mean? So, Iboy Esema, Roman numeral number 2, Hai Tana Chazru Nami Hit'u Kori Lei. This Tana, the Tana that represents the opening of our Mishnah, uses the word hit'u as we would use the word chazru, backed out. Rashi, the point that we indicated before, Rashi says hit'u kori lei, v'zeh dekotoni v'asisen. The Mishnah said, hitu ze et ze, this one, that one. Bepoalim ubalabayas nami komar is a reference to the dealings of the owner and the workers. In other words, direct dealings between the owner and the workers. Velo bidaatu poalim adodi, and not where an agent, a hired man, a man of the staff, misled a potential worker. And we go on in our Gemara with a long Tanaic source, Desanya, and the reason we're bringing this source in is to show that the idea of backing out is referred to by the term hit'u, backing out of a job that was initiated by an owner turning to workers. On the side, we have a topic heading, Masai Aminon, the Balabayas of Poilim Shechosim Ben Havitarumis, or Masai Yesh Tvias Momen Mamish. Under what circumstances does back out result in mere ill feelings, or does it result in an actual financial claim? Desanya. We can now back in the text. Hasechus Umen, Vehitu es Balabayas, or Balabayas Hito Oison. Ein lohem zeh ela tarumis. Someone hired workers and hit'u. There was this hit'u phenomenon. We said back out. And we'll see in the examples of the source how hit'u means backed out. And the opening of the source says that the result of the backing out is one that leads only to tar'omes, ill feelings, but not an actual financial claim. So we say ba'med v'mamurim. The expression ba'med v'mamurim is a qualification expression. Under what circumstances? It says we've highlighted it with diamonds. You have it here and you'll have it again later. Ba'med v'mamurim shelo holchu, where the workers didn't actually go. They didn't go to the venue of work. Aval holchu, if they went. Chamorim v'lomotsu tvua. Chamorim are donkey drivers. They're a means of transportation, and they were hired to transport grains. They went and didn't find any grains. Poyalim umotsu sodashi lechab, or workers that were hired to water a field, and they found the field was already lecha, already wet, meaning it's their services are not needed. So a man hired workers. They went to where they were supposed to do the job, found that their job is unnecessary. He must pay them. Now here we'll translate, but we're gonna actually qualify this. He gives them full wages. Avol, not really full wages. Avol eino doime. You can't say that the donkey driver. Imagine someone driving an 18 wheel moving van. He goes to the venue and finds that someone else removed all the stuff, that his services aren't needed. He's not going to be working very hard. He's going to be just going back to his station or wherever he started from. So the Gemara points out, Eino dome habot ta'un levar reikon. You can't compare someone that comes laden with someone that comes empty. Can't compare someone that has that labors intensively, he works, versus someone that sits and doesn't work. So when we speak about them getting full wages, but minus the amount that they would have compromised on in getting away easy. Again, we have another qualification, and we have a star in the Rashi. You'll notice in the wide lines under the Gemara text, around six, seven lines down, at the end of the line, Bamed Vomurim is abbreviated with a star. Shelo Ischil Bimlocha. Rashi points out Aresha Koi. This is a throwback to the beginning of the of this Tanaic source, where it spoke of some kind of back out and only feelings of taromis. What is featured here, and here Rashi is of extreme importance. Rashi says, "V'ad hashta parish midi d'schiris." Up till now, Rashi was describing a work relationship that we call schiris. Someone paid, we'll say, by the hour, by the day, per diem. V'hashta parish midi t'kablonis. And now we're going to describe jobs where we say there's back out, but the pay would be for the job. Say a type of contractual relationship, as opposed to an hourly pay. So, Bamed Vamurim, under what circumstance do we say that when there's back out, there's no actual financial claim in a kablonus arrangement? Shelo hischilu b'mlocha, where they didn't start the job. Aval hischilu b'mlocha, but if they started the job, shamin lahen ma she'osu, then an assessment is made of what they have done till this point. The Rashi, if you notice more or less where we had left off, the Rashi says, "Bamed v'amurim teheicha dechazu ben ahu chazar," where either they backed out or the owner backed out. Ein lamelo tarumus. There is nothing more than ill feelings. When is that? Bizman shelo hischil b'melacha. If they didn't, as long as they didn't start the work. Rashi goes on, Aval hischilu b'melacha, if these contractual workers started the job, yesh lahen, yesh din acher b'nehem, mahadin, what is the law then? In other words, we're not dealing with just taromis, but with an actual financial claim. Well, shomen lahen masha asu, we assess what they have done, lefi hatnai, according to the original agreement, v'kablu kfi cheshbon shasu, and they'll get in accordance with what they have done. Now, we go back to the Gemara text, and we'll see this is described. We're picking up at the last word on the second wide line. Ketzad, an illustration. Kiblu, if they received the job. Notice the word kiblu is something that is, I think it's pointed out in Rashi along the way, that here you can see that this section of the source is dealing with kablonis. The word kiblu is what you can see in the source. They received a job. Koma liktsor b'shnei slayim. Koma is standing grains, liktsor, to be harvest. And they would be paid two selah. Selah being a denomination of currency. Katsru chetzya, v'nichu chetzya. They harvested half and left half. Meaning there was back out halfway through the job. Another example. Beged la'roig, b'shnei slayim. a garment to be woven and get paid to sell out. Orgu chetzio venichu chetzio. Half was woven and the other half undone. Shomin lahen esma she'asu. We have a Roman numeral number 1 here. 2 lines later, Rabbi Dosa comes into the picture. He disagrees with the Tanakama's approach, with the first approach. So the Tanakama says, we evaluate that which they've done. In the cases that we, the examples we feature, they did half. We evaluate that. Hayayofeh shisha dinrim. Here the translation is extremely misleading if you're relying on literal translation, so let us add. Hayayofeh shisha dinrim is not going on the assessment of what they have done, but rather, if in order to complete the job, 6 dinar will have to be paid, and now we have to explain that 1 sela equals 4 dinarim. Now, what did they do? They did half the job. If they did half the job, you would assume that the second half is 1 more sela. We said the whole job was 2 sela. They did half. So, you would assume that the second half, the outstanding amount to be done, would cost the owner 1 sela, but that's not the case. And in life, we know that the 2 halves don't necessarily equal the whole. 2 halves of the job in value don't necessarily equal the original full amount. Why is that? Because that for a full job, people would be willing to do it for 2 sela. But to finish off a job that was half done, people will insist on a greater amount than the mere half. And that's what is referred to here. They did, in fact, half the job. The outstanding, the balance that remains to be done will cost the owner 6 dinar. That's 1.5 times the value of the half. The remaining half you thought would be 1 sell, that's 4 dinar. No, the remaining amount of work to be done will cost the owner 6 dinar. No simlam sela. The owner gives the workers that did the first half 1 sela. Oy yigmeru malachton v'yitlu shnei sloim. Or they can finish the job and get paid the original 2 sela. Now that seems to be a very obvious point. The Gemara will deal with that later on. The Rashi that we'd like to look at that should just elaborate on what we just pointed out, there's a double star in the Rashi, a little less than halfway down the wide lines. Hayofe vav 6 dinarim. Shim hoya ba liskor sochir lechetzia, if the owner is going to hire a worker to finish off the second half, ain't no motzei bepochos mishisha dinarim. He's not going to find someone at any less than 6 dinar. You know, if that... if those are the circumstances, and the result is that the owner is going to be losing out on based on what he originally had allocated or budgeted. Even so, the Tanakama doesn't factor that in. He doesn't look at how much is going to have to be paid for the outstanding work. As yet undone work. Ela shamin lohem is mash also lefi cheshbon. To know, we assess what they have done according to their original agreement. V'noyselim sela, and in the case that they did half, they will get 1 sela. The original job was slated for being paid 2 sela. They did half. They get 1 sela. To less leila haitana or disnan. This tana, that means our Roman numeral number 1, does not hold from our Mishnah disnan b'masnisen kol achayzer b'yodo ala tachtona. He who backs out is in the weaker position. If we'll say that was the opinion that. If the worker backs out, yada tachtona, they wouldn't get a full sela. In the case like that, or according to that opinion, you do factor in how much the owner is going to have to lay out to have the job done. We could probably assume that these workers wouldn't get any more than 2 dinar, means a half a selah, not a full selah. But that's not the opinion of the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama does not look at, does not view workers as yodam ala tachtona. Let's continue in the source. The source said that if the workers decide, let's say, not to back out, and they did half, and they, if they finish the job, they'll get 2 selah. V'im selah, noisein lohem selah. This also is a bit terse. V'im selah means that if the outstanding work is going to cost the owner 1 selah, namely, he'll find workers to finish off the job at 1 selah, as opposed to 6 dinarim, which is 1.5 selah. So then, these workers that did half will get 1 selah. That, too, it seems to be a rather obvious point. The Gemara will elaborate why these seeming obvious points have to be taught. Rabbi Dosa Omer. Rabbi Dosa disagrees with the Tanakhama, and he holds that, like our Mishnah, that kol ha'chozer bo yodo ala tachtona, he who backs out is going to get the lesser end of the deal. What does Rabbi Dosa say? Shomen lohen ma she'osu le'osos. These workers that did half, in order to establish how much they will get paid, we evaluate how much will the owner have to pay to get the job done. Hayoyofa shisha dinrim. If the owner, in order to get the second half of the job done, is going to have to pay out 6 dinar, noisein lohem shekel, then the workers that did half will get a shekel. A shekel is half a selah. A shekel is also 2 dinar. So Rabbi Dosa is certainly placing the workers at the in the weaker position. So since the owner is going to have to pay out 6 dinar to get the job done, the workers that did the first half are going to get a shekel, which is 2 dinar. As far as the owner is concerned, he'll pay the original guys 2 dinar. He'll pay the new workers to finish off the job 6 dinar. It's 8 dinar. 8 dinar is 2 selah. That's the amount the owner was originally willing to pay, and that's how much he will pay, as far as Rabbi Dosa is concerned. Now we go on with the points that we mentioned before. We'll call the obvious points. Oy yigmeru malachton v'yitlu shnei sloyim. Or let them, the original guys, finish off the job and get their original 2 selah of pay. V'im selah, and if, in order to complete the job, the balabayas will have to pay a selah, then no sein lohem selah, then the workers who did the first half are entitled to receive a selah, meaning the half, the actual value of the half that they did. Bamed v'mamurim. Now a qualification on this, and in the Rashi. Before we go into the Gemara, let's look. We have a Rashi with 3 stars. Bamed v'mamurim di'ein hachoizer nifsad elo lefi cheshbon l'Rabbi Dosa l'Rabbanan mekablin b'asha asu. Under what circumstances we say that the one who backed out, he loses in a, we'll call it, in a prorated fashion, with lefi cheshbon, according to the calculations that we made, as Rabbi Dosa presented it, or as far as the Rabbanon are concerned, they will get the value of what they did. So the source goes on to say, under what circumstances will all of the above apply? Bedover she'ein avud. When you're dealing with something that, if left undone for the time being, doesn't result in a loss. Avo bedover avud, if we're dealing with back out from a task, that left undone will cause a loss. Socher aleim or maton. Ketzad maton. We socher aleim. We explained earlier that you're going to hire people to finish off the job at whatever cost, and then charge the fellows who backed out to cover that. What's maton? So ketzad maton. Omer Lohem, the owner, says to the workers that were hired to work on a dovra or with some type of task that if undone will cause him a loss. He says to the guys, Sela katzatzi lohem, I agreed to pay you for the job, one sela. Come on and finish off the job, bo tlushtein, come and I'll give you two. That's a 100% increase. And when they finish the job, he doesn't have to give them two. He gives them one. The ad kama sechar lehem, we mentioned the other possibility of these guys that backed out have no intention of completing the job. The owner has to hire outsiders to finish off the job. And these guys that backed out, being that we're dealing with a dover over, they're going to have to cover the bill. Well, till what point? Al arboim v'chamishim zuz, 40 or 50 zuz. It's a lot more. In other words, it's certainly not what we said before, lefi cheshbon, but rather a lot more if necessary. Bamed v'mamurim. Under what circumstances do we say socher aleihem? Bizman she'ein sham poyolim liskor, when there are no other workers around to finish off the job. Avol yesh sham poyolim liskor v'yomar tzei uschor me'elu ein lo aleihem ela tarumes. But if you have workers around that are willing to finish off the job, so the owner can as far as his dealing with the original guys who backed out, he has only a taromes feelings against them, but not any financial claim. I would like to point out that a lot of information that was found in this long source that we just read will be dealt with extensively as the Gemara goes on. So the first point that we focus on is also represented by a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align this with the arrow above. We're referring to that which we saw where the workers, the donkey drivers, went to their place of work and found that there was nothing for them to transport. Tani Tano Kamei D'Rav. Someone stated the Tanaic source in the presence of Rav, and it said, Noisin Lehem Schoron Mushlam, which we translated as meaning they get full pay. Omar Lei. Rav reacts. Chavivi Omar. Chavivi is my uncle. It's a reference to the great Rabbi Chia, who was Rav's uncle. Rabbi Chia said, if I was the one, if I was the owner who hired these donkey drivers, transporters, and they ended up doing nothing, even though they went to this site, lo hava yahivna lohen ela kapayel batel, I would have given them no more than a worker that doesn't actually do the job. The ad amris noisein lehem schor mushlam, and you say they get full wages. We have to explain. We mentioned in passing, but let's go over the term poil botel. This is a term you find fairly often throughout sukkis that deal with workers. It's an amount of money that a particular professional or worker would be willing to accept and not to actually do the job. Example, if let us say someone is a tailor and he has a certain daily income, how much would he be willing to take to sit and read a book? In other words, sit literally translated, sit and do nothing. So if a person is, let us say, he's making, he's getting paid $100 a day, and you say, listen, how much would you be willing to take to sit at home and not go to work? Obviously, he's not going to say, give me nothing because I'm not doing anything. Person would rather work and get his $100. However, people would be willing to compromise on the full $100. I'd be willing to take less if you're giving me the option of being a poil botel, simply not working. So how much is that? Well, it depends. You have to evaluate each profession on its own terms. But if a tailor is getting paid $100 a day, and he'd say, listen, if you're willing to pay me money and I don't have to go to work, I'll take $80 a day. That's the poel botel example. So Reb Chiya says, if I were the guy that hired these donkey drivers, and they went to the spot and found they didn't have to do anything, well, I would have paid them on that poel botel rate. And you are saying in the source we saw, Schoron Mushlam, they get paid full wages. Now, if you recall, when we learned the source, we read it with a great deal of hesitation. We said there's a literal translation, but we also qualified it. Here, we're working with the literal translation, and that is arousing Reb Chiya's tone of wonderment. And hence, Reb Chiya is saying that you are claiming they should get paid full wages. I wouldn't pay them any more than a poel botel. The Gemara now asks, the ha alo katoni, the Gemara is asking, really, it's directing its question on Rav. Why is Rav quoting his uncle and all of his state of wonderment, exasperation, but v'ha'alo katoni? But in the source itself, it said eino deme haba tone labo reikon or oise malacha liyoshev batel. So we saw already a reference to, in the source itself, took into consideration that we'll say that phenomenon of someone having a job to do and willing to compromise and not take full pay. That's in other words, that's exactly what Reb Chiya himself said. So the source is in agreement with Reb Chiya. Where's there room for the tamiha, for the wonderment that Rav seemed to express or quote his uncle as having expressed? The Gemara answers very simply, lo saimua kamei. This is the first approach, namely that the source, the entire source, was not literally finished off. He didn't hear the whole thing. So that in effect, all that Rav heard was Scharo Mushlam, and he didn't hear the continuation of the source that made reference to Kepoel Botel. Iko di Amri, Saimua Kamei. There's another approach to what happened with Rav and the quotation of the source and reference to Rabbi Chiya, the Chavivi, the uncle. That the other version is that the whole source was taught, the Hochi Omar, and thusly Rav reacted. Chavivi Omar, Ihavoi Ano, Rabbi Chiya said that if it were me, if I were the owner, lo have ya ivna le klal, I wouldn't have given them anything. V'ad amres kaboyel botel. And you're saying, as you quote the continuation of the source, that they get paid like a payo motel. Well, elokashiach, we ask on Rav, how can, why is Rav so upset with the worker in fact getting paid like poil butter when the Brisa says that's what he should get paid? Lo kashia. Ha de sairo la are me de urta, ha de lo sairo la are me urta. And these are terms, expressions, we'll have to explain them. And the Gemara goes on to elaborate on them with an incident involving Rava, as you can see, we have a connector mark, Kihad Yama Rava, etc. However, these terms need to be explained even before we go on. In the meantime, recognize that we have two approaches, and there's no difference, there's no disagreement. There are two different circumstances. We have one ruling where we saw Reb Chiya says the workers would have got nothing, and another ruling where they get like a poel botel. Well, it all depends on sair lare midurta or not. Now we look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom. Ha de sair lare midurta. V'hoilich apoyalim sham. Sair is an expression meaning to look at something, to check something out. The owner went with the workers. He took the workers there, v'ra'uha, and they saw the field. V'lo hevinu shilecha, and they didn't understand that the field was already wet, was already watered. O shemo yerdu geshamim balayla, or the possibility of rain falling at night. In a case like that, and they, you know, if they went to the venue, the information or the facts or the reality making their services unnecessary. In the case like Leslu Klal, they don't have any pay coming to them. The Chazu in Hugufayu, they saw themselves the place they were to work. The Al Minas came to Stakrulo, and with that in mind, or based on that, they hired themselves out. Vare lo yecholim, v'lo hoyo lahen leilich baboker. They are not. Their services are not needed. They shouldn't have gone there the next morning. The next Rashi, and of course, just repeat the main point, being that you had Sairu L'Ara Mi'urta, they were there, they went to the venue, their services in reality, and they saw it. They might not have understood it or factored it in, but they were there. At the all the elements making their services unnecessary were there already from the night before. They shouldn't have gone the next morning. Ah, that they didn't pay attention, that they weren't concentrating or whatever. That's no reason to expect the owner to have to pay them anything. Rashi goes on. Lo sairu al yarmei urta. If there was no checking out of the property the night before, Olav Hoya Lose Slave Ladover Lodium, the owner should have noted and informed them, Im Timsu Soda Lechalo Etain Lechem Klum. If you find that the field in the morning is wet, I won't pay you anything. And he didn't do that. If he had made that announcement, then that would have put the burden upon the workers to go check it out the night before to see whether they have to bother going there in the morning. But he didn't announce that. Under those circumstances, then the owner will have to pay them, albeit not full wages, but pay them a decent amount, an amount they would be willing to take to be like a poyel botel. Now, we go back to the Gemara. Kiha Diyama Rava. The triangle is featured on the side under the Mivneh, the structural note. Memro Shil Rava Binyan Ha'asokas Poyalim Lahashke Sodos and Mizbarah Shein Tzorelem. We have comments made by Rava concerning hiring of workers for watering fields, and it turns out that there was no need. So we go on in our Gemara. Ki ha diyama Rava, as Rava said, Haiman the Agar Agiri the Rivka. Someone hired workers for Rivka. Rashi, there's a note on the side that says, Lachrosh Charitzim Vasa Mitchell She'en Yichon Lachrosh. Rivka is to till the soil, to turn over the soil, digging channels or ditches, and they were hired for Rivka. And rain came, umayamai, and filled the water, the field with water, making it such that they can't do that task. Isaira la'are me'urta. Had they checked out the land the night before, we continue at the top of Daf Ayin Zayin. Pseida de poyalim. It's the workers' loss. Rashi at the top says, Pseida de poyalim, gishamim shiordu. The rain that fell, hefsid poyalim hu, it's their loss. The lo yohiv luhu midi, the owner doesn't pay them anything. The omar luhu, the owner can say mazalaychu goram. It's your mazal, your luck or your bad luck that caused it. The Gemara continues, lo sayru la'are mi'urta, say to the balabayas v'yavlu kepoyal batel. Notice the same distinction that the Gemara made is what Rava is teaching. If there was lo sayra liare, then Rashi, we look at Rashi at the third line from the top, the amri le, the workers can say, mi yemar de ledaita dahu ara agrason. If there was no checking out of the land the night before. Now here I think Rashi on Omanav was extremely precise. Rashi spoke about the Hoylich HaPoylim Sham, three lines from the bottom of Omid Beis, of the previous Omid Beis, where the owner took the workers. That's Saira, Lo Saira. The owner didn't take the workers to that field the night before. The workers have a claim against the owner and they can say, who said that that field that we now know is watered, that that's the field you had hired us to work on. Of course, if the owner had taken them to that field, so then they knew that that was the field they were expected to work on, and when it turns out that their work is not necessary, the owner does not have to pay them anything. They don't have this response of mi yemar de ledaita du ara agrason. V'omar Rava, Haiman de oigir aguri ledavla. A man hired workers for watering a field. The word davla is lahashkois sados, as Rashi says. V'osa mitra, and it rained. Pseida de poyalim. It's the workers' loss. Rashi says, V'osa mitra, v'hishka oisa, and the rain watered the field. V'eino tzricha ledavla, and the water, their act of watering, their service of watering is not necessary. There's another situation. Osa nara, the river came, and its level rose, inundating the field, filling all of the ditches and channels that run through the field with water. So their services aren't necessary. In a case like that, the Gemara rules, Rava rules, Pseida de Balabayas, V'yoyev lu kepoyel botel. It's the owner's loss, and he has to pay them the poyel botel rate. Rashi explains, Pseida de Balabayas, the poyelim einan yoidim minik sadeu she nor oilu lashkoisei ahu hoyoyotea. Here Rashi is adding a lot of information. In the case of the rising river, this is something that the workers were unaware of. They didn't know that that's what happens, that the river rises where his field is, but the owner did know all of that. The Gemara continues, V'omar Rava, Haiman de Oigir Aguri Ledavla, Uposak Nara Bepalga de Yoima. Man hired workers to water a field. The source of water was a river that ran by the field. However, in this case, the river flow stopped at half day. We evaluate. E lo ovid de pasik, if it, that's just never happens. It's not normal for it to stop. Say to the poilim, it's their loss, it's their bad luck. Ovid de pasik, if it's a repeating phenomenon, it happens from time to time. E bene masa, if these workers that were hired were local people, say to the poilim, it's their loss. They're familiar with this. So they have to, in accepting the work, they took that into consideration. However, la bene masa, if they're not from that town, they have no awareness of the river behavior, pseda the balabayas. It's the owner's loss, and he'll have to pay them, as we indicated earlier. V'yomar Rava, Haiman da'ogar agri lavidata, man hired workers to perform a job. V'sholim avidata b'palga d'yoyma, and they were industrious, diligent workers, and they finished the job at half day. So they were hired for a full day of activity, and yet they finished the job in half the time. E isle avidita, if the owner has other tasks, the nicha mina inami de kavasa mifkadlahu, tasks that are lighter, that are easier to do, or of a similar nature, he can instruct them to do those other tasks. I think it's reasonable to assume that these workers were hired to do a particular job, and it was assumed that the job would take a full day in which to do it. Their pay is not based on the job. They're not paid for the job. They're paid for a full day of work. And as we said, a full day of work, and it had been thought that it would take them a full day of work to do that particular task. But they finished sooner. At the same time, they were hired to continue working a whole day. So if the owner has similar or lighter tasks, he can instruct them to do that. Dekashe mina lo mifkad lehu. If the only things that he has are harder to do, he can't instruct them to do that. V'noisein lohem scharon mushlam. And he will pay them their full wages. Amai, why should he pay for a full day of work when they worked only half a day? V'leisiv lehu kepoyel batel. Let him, the owner, be able to pay the poyel batel rate. The Gemara answers, ki koma rova be'achlushi demechuza. Rava's ruling of paying the full rate, even though they finished just after half the time, you're dealing with achlushi demechuza. An expression we'll go over shortly in the Rashi. But the Gemara says, the ilo avdi chalshi. These are people that if they're not involved with work, they actually become weaker. Rashi, achlushi demechuza. The Mechuzah Shu'iru Shirova. Mechuzah was the name of the town in which Rava was the rabbi. Hayu b'nei adam rugilim loseis masois tamid. The people that were porters, and they were constantly involved with carrying items. Uchshiyosh b'tanim, when they sit doing nothing, koshalem, it actually is injurious, it's deleterious for them. And therefore, concept of poil, paying like a poil botel, has no relevance to people like that, and therefore they deserve full pay. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. www.shiurtorah.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.